Hello, everybody, and welcome again to another episode in GSC's Rude Mechanicals, where we meet members from the artistic teams, the people who make the shows come alive that you see on stage. And today we are talking with the rather brilliant Chris Whittaker, choreographer extraordinaire, who has worked on... it's three shows, isn't it, Chris, that you've done with us?
Yeah. Did both last year, and then in 2017 did Two Gents of the Barona.
Ah, happy days.
Very good.
Before we talk a little bit more about the stuff you've done with GSC, how did you get started in how does one become a choreographer? I mean, do you just start, were you born dancing?
So there's a couple of routes in. So my route was, I trained as a dancer. I started dancing when I was four.
Wow.
So I went to dance school from the age of four, did ballet, tap and modern. Did that all the way through. At 16, I moved to London and went to London Studio Centre and trained in musical theatre. Did that, came out expecting to suddenly break into the West End and have everything to be wonderful. apparently that doesn't happen. So did a bit of the circuit, did a few kind of rep jobs, did a bit of performing, did a couple of pantos, made contacts, and then actually working front of house at Phantom. Yeah. As a sort of layman's job, I discovered a choreographer called Adrian Edmeads, who worked there as a dresser as well. And he kind of said, oh, I'm looking for a dancer to come and do a panto for me. So I spent 4 years, I think it was, doing panto for him and worked my way up on dance captain to begin with. Then I became his assistant and then his associate. And then he took me off to do some work for CBeebies. We did three series of Giggle Biz and two series of Zingzillas. Associate choreographer, and he was choreographer. So that was amazing fun learning how the TV side works. And then off the back of that and a bit of networking, I got my own show in London. I did Assassins at the Pleasance in 2010.
Right.
I think it was, as choreographer, and that was my first ever show. And I loved it. And I kind of very quickly started to move into the choreography side from there.
So
that was kind of where I went.
So when you said you started like at the age of four, I mean, was that like a dance, you know, like a sort of all round dance school doing bits of ballet, bits of this?
Yeah,
bits
so of... It's kind of run in the family in that my grandma used to have a dance school when she was younger, and she got offered a place at the Royal Ballet, but turned it down to stay at home with my granddad. My mum got offered a place at RADA, but didn't go because she wanted to be a dental hygienist. I mean, like that's how insane it is. And so she kept dancing in a local dance school, and they do a show every 2 years. So I was four and my brother was seven, and we went to see my mum do this show. And she was in like two numbers, doing a bit of tap and a bit of jazz. And I said, oh, I'd really like to try it. You know, I'd like to go. They were like, oh, it's just a passing thing. He'll go, he'll do a year or so or something, and then he'll give up. But both my brother and I stuck it out. Like, he carried on going till he was 20, and I'm still... apparently doing it now. So a local dance school, we did a few shows. We do like any shows that came touring to the local theatre at the Regent in Stoke. We'd kind of, if they needed kids, we'd go in and do that. So I I've always been doing it and loved it. And it's one of those things that if someone ever says you can't do something, it makes you even more passionate.
I get, know what you mean. And is there it sounds like you've had a pretty varied education or training in dance, and then also looking at your CV and stuff, there's all sorts of different shows in there. Is there a particular medium that you enjoy working in, I just love everything, it doesn't matter what
I'll turn my hand at everything. Like, I've always been of the mindset that there's no point in saying no to something unless you adamantly hate the project itself. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's someone on it that you kind of want to work with, find a way of doing it and find a way of working. Like, I love my tap and I love my big musical theatre, but being sort of in the younger side for a choreographer and still relatively sort of fresh in it, you're not going to get those shows. Like, someone's not going to turn around and offer you a chorus line in the West End to choreograph. Like, they're going to go to people above you. So you then find other things to do and more fun things to play around with, because actually you can be a lot more experimental in the smaller branches of the industry. And actually, I really found that I love just working on stuff where I can tell a story. And I know that sounds a bit kind of typically creative of you to say, but it's, anything where you can get your sort of hands involved and say, okay, well, I'm telling a story through movement and help the director in that sense. That's what I've really discovered. And that's why sort of doing the movement direction and the choreography, rather than, I never thought I'd go into movement direction and do work with you guys and stuff like that.
So are you able to sort of just to explain a little bit between, you know, movement directing or movement direction and choreography? Yeah. Because I'm sure there's some people listening to this going, well, isn't it the same thing?
It kind of is. So in terms of that, it's both of a working with bodies and with movement. Choreography is obviously your big kind of, everyone expects big dance numbers, music starts, everyone starts dancing, it looks beautiful, it looks pretty, and then as soon as the music finishes, it goes back over to the director, and that's kind of that. So that's the choreography side of things, and helping with to beauty.
And is that the sort of
movement direction is kind of, it takes two sides. So the stuff I do with you guys is obviously the Shakespeare, where we have the numbers at the end, and helping with scene changes, and so working on stuff that's not necessarily dance related, but it's about movement and finding the period structure and how you would move in that period. And then the stuff that I do, where I've just done a show for Chichester called Sing Your Heart Out for the Lads, where it's about football, it's set in a pub, so there is literally no dance in it whatsoever, but it's about finding the physicality. So it's about running warm-ups and kind of making people aware of how their body would move when they're embodying, is that right?
Yeah,
a character, kind of, for people who might not have done that, or if their characters come from the army, or their character comes from a certain period, and how that would move, and how you can increase the sort of the way that that informs their character a bit more. So that's kind of the two different sides, and actually there's a really fun thing about flipping between the two.
Sure. So like when you've done things like, you know, Jungle Book or stuff like that, I mean, that's bound to have a lot of movement. What I would say, a lot of movement, because you're, even if you're not being suited up animals, you are being asked to kind of be lion-like or tiger-like or whatever. So that's the sort of things that you're meaning, you know, on a simple basis.
Yeah, it's developing a character and looking at how those characters would move around the stage in its simplest form.
So you were saying there about sort of working with the director and helping them, or working with them to achieve, to tell the story, achieve the end, you know, product of what you're looking for. Where does your role start? I mean, let's use GSC shows as an example, which is, you know, probably more useful, more easier in this context. Where does your process start, and where does your time with the show begin?
So you start, it's one of two things. Either you get approached by the producer, or you get approached by the director to come on board. So either the producer wants to work with you and brings you in and introduces you to the director, or the director wants to bring you on board and introduces you to the producer. And you have a brief little chat with the three of you about what the show is, what the realm of your job is going to be. Are you on board for the whole thing? Are you just coming in for a couple of days to help with certain things? So once you kind of know the involvement that's expected of you, then you go in and you chat to the director, and you discuss what they want from the show. You know, what's their vision of the show? Because in the end, it's their final say into how things need to look and what needs to come across. So you'll sit down and you'll chat through the elements of the show that they think require movement or dance. Mm-hmm. So we'll do that, and then I'll go away, and it depends. So things like Two Gents, where there's lots of different musical elements to it, I'll get sent the music and I'll get told, okay, so for this we're in a cafe, so we need to have the three girls that are dancing around a tight microphone. It needs to be really tight, intricate choreography that's done sort of from a distance. So how do I work on that? So I'll spend a bit of time on my own, not in the studio. You guys are probably still in casting at this point, so it's a couple of months before we start rehearsals. So I'll be doing that, sort of thinking about how I can make it work, listening to the music, and then you get the other part where they'll say, okay, this is the end of the show, it just needs to be a big, happy, lively number, 12 people, we need to introduce bows and we need to work in that, and I'll get sent the track for that, and I'll do that as well. So it's a good sort of month's process while you guys start rehearsals, before I come in, of just listening to the music and figuring it out. But I never kind of get too structured, because I know that when I come in to work with companies like this, that things change and adapt, and some people have better ability than I was expecting, some people have less ability than you're expecting. Because on plays, you're not involved in the casting process as a choreographer. On the musical, I just have my own audition and dance round. For plays, it's kind of, you make it work with what you've got, and you work to, I never say what their limitations are, but what their abilities are and what they can do and what they can offer you. Because what they normally offer you, and what I always find with working with you guys, is the acting that they bring through the movement is always amazing. And we always have great fun adding the little character stories through the routines.
Yeah.
So that's what I'll do ahead of time.
And then rehearsals, obviously, you come into rehearsals, and that's where, you know, and I know that we've been there, and you've got, you know, the idea of the let's say the end numbers, which is probably the things that are most memorable, I suppose, for people. You know, we begin with some very, I mean, it's, I think how you do it is, well, you know, brilliant, because you break, for people who are not dancers, and that's the other thing, you know, the majority of the cast that we work with aren't dancers in the first instance, i.e. they've not had dance training. They can dance, and they're brilliant dancers or movers, but they're not there for their dance skills in the first instance. They're there for acting in Shakespeare and so on. So what I think is great is that you, you know, and it must be fascinating for you then, because sometimes you'll say, right, yeah, tomorrow I'm with, you know, I'm doing this panto next week, you know, or whatever. So completely different kind of set of cast that you're going to work with, who absolutely know what a set ball change is, and you know, can do pose coupé ronde jean and flip, you know, and all of that, whereas, you know, for us going, oh, what, hang on, step one, step two, back, cross, round we go. And
yeah, and it's really fun looking at how people work with it. Some people have to write it down, and you have to do it in front of them, and they have to like video you and copy you 100% of the time. Other times you can go, okay, so this is a feel of what I want, make it work on your own body, kind of, so I'll show you a brief couple of steps and we'll say, okay, make this work. Other times you then turn around and say, right, Matt's got to go and get the dog at this point. which completely changes everything you've ever choreographed. But yeah, it's good fun, and it's never the same. Like, whenever you do a show, especially with you guys, I've only come in and do a couple of days, so I'll do that, and then, as you say, like, the next day I could be off doing a big full-scale Top Hat musical where I've got big tap routines and dance breaks to do, and then I come back and see you guys, and it's great to see how you've evolved the choreography, because although we set it quite tightly what I want from you, it always has to relate back to the character and what's happened in the play, and it's always fun to come and see, because we normally do it quite early on to give people time to get the choreography under their hats, and so, but then to see what they've discovered about their characters within the next sort of 2 weeks always informs the end routine again, so we think, oh, that's great, brilliant, but we've also found this lovely little moment that happens between these two characters, and if we can work a little resolve into that, and that's always really fun and really exciting to sit with the director and the characters and say, well, actually, we've discovered this about us now, so let's bring it into the show.
So it's a much more organic, you know, process, as opposed to, do you find that that is something which is different to, like you just say, going doing a big Top Hat number?
Yeah, definitely. It's you can have that in choreography in musical theatre, and you can certainly when working with the leads in a musical theatre, but then you get into the ensemble, and if it's like a Top Hat where everyone is kind of just coming on as a showgirl, show guy, and it's a big sort of front cloth number, big showstopper or something, you can't have as much work in that. I always try and get the character and the story driven into it, because otherwise it's just dancing for no reason. But in plays, and certainly in Shakespeare, there's a lot more fun to be had.
Yeah.
With that, a lot more development. And it's what, that's what the actors prefer in that sense. Because if you come in and you go, no, that choreography's not clean enough, that it just kind of gets their back up a bit, because that's not what they're there for. They're not dancers, as you said.
Yeah.
So drilling and drilling and drilling isn't going to help. But going, oh, actually, can you find me a characterful way that you do this step and why you're doing it? It just makes the process much more sort of harmonious for everybody.
Whilst at the same time, you know, I remember, interestingly, we had, you know, last summer, 2019, Twelfth Night in the 50s, which was a more of a sort of a jive kind of number, and then Merry Wives, which was a kind of, you know, a 70s, you know, disco kind of thing. Yeah. And I remember the difference between the two of those was that there was an element of with Twelfth Night, the 50s, of being couples and really actually wanting you and Charlotte Conquest, the director, you know, wanting to hit those marks all together, so the dips are in the same place and the moves around our heads, you know, taking the girls, you know, out or whatever, we're all at the same time. Whereas with Merry Wives, there was a much sort of freer feel to it.
Definitely. And it, again, most of that comes down to what the director wants in terms of, so when we were looking at Twelfth Night, it was the, you know, it needed to have that 50s feel where we were all at the same moment at the exact same time, so we wanted the couples to look like they were dancing together, whereas you look at the beginning of Merry Wives, when it was supposed to be sort of two couples either side of their own garden fence, and it was, you know, you can add those little individual moments, so you could afford to take a little bit longer with one couple doing one bit, and then, or you go to the end when we're all running around the forest like lunatics. I mean, kind of just becomes a free-for-all, and it's the era adds a big thing into it, and it's really fun with Shakespeare that it's never set in a specific time period. So especially working with you guys, you kind of mix it up a lot. So, you know, when we had the Italian when did we set Two Gents?
Yeah, it was Italian 50s?
It was something like that, yeah. It was kind of, so it had that kind of, this lovely sort of classic feel to it, that kind of gangstery movie.
Yes.
Cinema noir feel to everything. And then you go to the sort of slightly end of the 60s, beginning of the 70s feel that Merry Wives had, and it allows me so much more fun because you can play with the back catalogue of moves that each of those eras had.
And is there a particular style that you personally as a choreographer or movement director enjoy, you know, when the director comes to you and say, well, what we're going to do is set to the 50s, it's jive, or do you know what, no, it's going to be more, we want to do some classic foxtrot, whatever, you know, is there a type of movement that you particularly enjoy, Chris, yourself?
I mean, it's interesting that I never expected to work in this medium. Like, I never thought I would be doing, I thought I'd just stay as a performer. So I kind of only ever focused on that. So I didn't really focus on learning era dance and kind of...
Right.
So I never specialised in that. And I certainly never thought I'd go into plays and movement direction. That wasn't something that was on my radar at all. So every time someone comes up to me and says, we're doing this and it's set in this era, it's just a lot of research. So I kind of never go, oh, that's my favourite, I can't wait to do that. Because a lot of the time I'll have never done it before. So it's winging it kind of half the time and then doing research and going... But what works brilliantly with the two directors that I work with for you guys, so Charlotte and Caroline, is they send me images, and I work really well from references. So they go, we want it to be a little bit something like this. So they'll say, do you remember this pop video? And I'm like, no, I wasn't born, so send me something else. So they'll send it through. And I'll watch it, and I go, okay, so this is what they mean. This is the feel that they mean. And then I have the great fun of trying to recreate that, but with my own style on top of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I enjoy, is being able to put my own stamp on what the director's vision is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, sometimes you go, oh, I love doing that, and I know that I can do it. And other times you go, I have no idea what this is, let's just make it up as we go along.
I mean, the other thing that must be, again, another challenge for you, and I think, you know, all through all these interviews that I've, you know, done with all the different people, whether it's fight director or sound, or you know, the fact that we are not in a theatre. So the fact that, you know, we can, you know, we have a mark out in the rehearsal room of what we think the stage is going to look, you know, the rough dimensions of the stage. But of course, we get to tech, you come into the, you know, we're underneath that big oak tree in the castle gardens, or we're in a massive, you know, field with a model railway running around us. Yes. And all of a sudden, do you kind of go, oh my, oh wow, this changes everything now, or what?
Yeah, I mean, it never changes everything, but there's always, it will never be exactly the same as you've done it in the rehearsal room, and you know that. So when you set it, you kind of set it with your ideal vision in mind, knowing full well that as soon as you get to tech, you go, right, well, this is actually, they said it was only going to be a 1 foot step, but now it's actually 6 foot and you need 3 people to help you up there. So you know immediately that things are going to change, or they go, by the way, the train won't go as quickly as you hoped, so we need to suddenly add 6 more counts into the routine so that everyone's now running across. So I think you just expecting it to stay as it was, and as long as you accept that, I think if you're someone who's a perfectionist and everything has to stay the same from day one, like, don't go into theatre, and certainly don't go into open air theatre. But it's like, we have to.
Yeah, it has to be developed organically, I suppose, in that sense.
So I work for another company, or I have worked for another company, that do a lot of outdoor tours of musicals. And every time we do a routine, you're like, this is brilliant. It's high energy, there's big jumps. You go come up with a wet weather version of the show that as soon as it starts raining, they know, the actors know, they can switch to a safer version. So yeah. It's always having those two. And it's kind of the same with you guys, that we always come up with a version going, does this work in the location we're trying to put?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, and that's, and it's, yeah, there's so much to think about. It's you know, bringing all of these departments together is fascinating. So, we've talked about these three that we've done together. What are some of your, I mean, I know I've got some of my favourite moments, but, what's some of you, do you have a couple, or do you can share them with us?
So the first one was obviously, the first time I worked with the company was the first time doing movement direction as such. So getting to play around with that and suddenly being introduced to a dog that has to come into the set halfway through, that was good fun. And just discovering the company, that was lovely. And it was my first introduction, and it just... it felt like being at home working with the company because everyone just threw themselves into everything.
Yeah, thank you.
And working with Charlotte was great. Like, we tried to work with each other a couple of times before, and it had never kind of panned out. And she introduced me on this, and we went to chat about it, and we're like, this is right, let's do this. And it just felt lovely. And then, obviously, coming back was amazing. Like, always getting invited back to do another show means that either you've done something right or it's a lovely company. And kind of this was hopefully a mixture of the both. Coming in, and on... which one was it?
Twelfth night.
Whenever you get to name a step is a big moment for a choreographer. And I've always got this saying, and I don't know why, it's one of those sort of Tourette's things that comes up. If someone says, oh, is this right? You go, oh, yeah, that's the badger. And I think someone mistook what I was meaning with that and thought that the name of the step was called the badger, and therefore we invented a step that for the rest of eternity shall be known as the badger.
Indeed. In fact, our WhatsApp group for the cast still, a year on, is still called Summer 2019 Badgers. And,
it's amazing. And Elaine, the wonderful stage manager, does the tech bingo, and one of the on that record spot the badger. And it's, you know, it became a much bigger thing than I ever intended it to be.
I think what I loved about that, about those sessions, learning that dance and the stuff in there, was this really fascinating sort of competitive streak that entered all
amazing.
The cast, who were like, we're going to be the better team. Because there's this strange sort of like, no, I think we might end up centre during this section.
Yes.
And everybody wants to be the best thing. Like, when you come back in a week later to show how, you know, for us to show how well we've learned it, we're all trying to compete just to be that. Oh, I think we're going to move Matt and Emma centre. Oh, we're going to move Sarah and... who is she with? Sarah and Isaac centre instead. Or we're going to... And that kind of... they've got it better than
amazing.
We have.
And it's, there's bits that even the actors don't know, that the director suddenly turns their back to the actors and goes, can we just make sure we move them? And I still have to then diplomatically go, oh, guys, well, I've just come up with this reason. I just think you need to be over here for this part. So you end up kind of being the kind of go-between the director who actually watches it and goes, they cannot be stood there, and the cast going, yeah, we're doing this so well and we have to be centre. So I end up being the full guy going, actually, I'm going to break it to you, we're cutting the routine now. And obviously there's always a couple that you end up having to put two guys together who are, for no apparent reason, dancing together at this moment.
Yes, especially in Shakespeare.
Yeah, which is brilliant, and everyone just throws themselves at it, and they end up throwing suggestions at me. Be like, oh, well, we thought we could do this lift at this point. I'm like, hang on, we're not doing lifts. Where's this come from? But they've got 2 weeks to get the Dirty Dancing lift into it somewhere, so...
Yeah. And I think our audiences, I mean, the one thing that people talk about a lot about in the last sort of nearly 12 months is the both the opening montage of The Merry Wives of Windsor, which involved Sarah and Emma doing their sort of a Stepford Wives type sort of movement sequence on their own, kissing their husbands goodbye, then the train arriving, and us all getting on stage in time to do this full crazy number.
It's the first time for me that we've started a show with a full number. Like all the others, we've finished it with a big number. Mm-hmm. But this is the first time we got to set a movement language from the very top of the show.
Yeah.
And that was a really exciting prospect for me because it's not something that you often... in Shakespeare. And so Caroline came up with this great concept, and it was so much fun getting the girls to strip off their dressing gowns to reveal these outfits, and it was brilliant. And the train coming in was just so much fun, and the seeing your face when we were all coming in on the train was amazing.
And to enjoy, like, you know, a real great, you know, sort of party mega mix at the end of the show with all these sort of the best bits or most awful bits of the 70s.
Yeah, we did the wedding, and it was kind of introducing everyone, and that kind of grew to something bigger than we ever really expected it to be.
Yeah,
and it was great fun seeing everyone come forward and working with PG and how much he embodied that character and suddenly threw everything at it. It grew.
Yeah,
I think
what I mean, I'm not a musical theatre, you know, actor. I've done panto and bits and bobs, but there's for me as a performer on stage, there's a moment in a show where you are, and usually it's at the end from a Shakespeare point of view, is where you've come on this journey with, especially if it's comedy, you come on this journey with the audience, and now you're here at the end and you're doing some sort of celebratory dance, whether it's, you know, to We Are Family by Sister Sledge, yeah. or whether it's some beautiful 1950s, you know, jive. But there's some sort of elation and sharing with an audience in that moment, which really, I don't know, it's a fabulous way to finish a show with energy.
It's kind of a twofold thing, in that part of it is that the story has to end and we're finally seeing the sort of culmination of everything the audience just watched, and seeing that erupt into a physical thing that's not been there through the rest of the play or investigated throughout the play, and you suddenly just see these characters break into dance, or see them break out of character into dance, which is how we kind of did it in Two Gents of Verona. So it's lovely seeing that, and the audience just kind of go, because there's nothing else that they're expecting. Like, there's no sudden twist in the plot. It's just a moment where everyone can go, and we've made it. Everyone who's supposed to be alive is alive. It's fine.
Everyone's married who should be married to the right people. And, yeah. And I mean, the other lovely thing actually was seeing the audiences dance along at the end. Certainly with Merry Wives.
Merry Wives, because they were all on the, when we were doing it in the promenade, and everyone was stood up, and by that point, so the lights come up, and it turned into like some Woodstock feel. We're in these trees with lights going and fairy lights, and everyone was dressed with pillowcases around their heads, and it was great.
Really
it
good.
Kind of evolved. I think everyone was going to be sat on benches, but we realised that wasn't practical by the time we got there. So the audience was stood up, and it really felt like a party, like a celebration at the end. It was great.
Yeah, really, really good fun. Happy days.
Very.
Chris, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us and tell us all about the world of choreography, movement direction, and you know what your department brings to our shows. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
Hopefully see you all again very soon.
Absolutely. Take care.
Bye.